Saturday, January 25th. After a couple of hours of office work, I got ready to go to Barbara Boggs's wedding, which was at 12:30, going alone because I thought an hour and a half of high mass was something Lyndon need not tackle, whereas I, looking at it through the eyes of a mother and thinking how close and dear Lindy had been to us, and thinking about my own daughter's wedding sometime, knew that it would be rather nice to have some of our family there. My old advance man, Tommy Boggs, met me at the front door and escorted me up the aisle, and I went in and sat down by the two grandmothers, and then later on had Lindy, and then Hale on my right. They'd been doing a land office business in weddings that day. Another one ended just ten minutes before this one was supposed to begin, and then another one was going to take place within 10 minutes after Barbara's was over. But nevertheless, logistics aside, it was a beautiful wedding. There were 12 bridesmaids, all in bright red, and there was Barbara, looking so healthy and fresh and radiant, with a wedding veil that was 200 years old and under which about 25 members of her family had been married. I thought about that, and that meant something to me. And the young man is professor of political science at Princeton. What better could there be for a daughter of the politically indoctrinated family of Boggs? There was a particularly impressive moment at the end of the ceremony when the priest said something approximately like this: "You have now entered into the holy bonds of matrimony from which there is no return. So go forth generously and bravely and fulfill your responsibilities." And there was another nice moment when Barbara went up to the altar of the Virgin and laid her bridal bouquet on it. After that, I asked if I could take any of the family or anybody with me since I was in that big car, and I gathered up the two grandmothers and Bess and Tyler and Tommy, and we went on out to the Boggs' house, where everybody in the living world had been invited to the reception. Someone told me they sent out 1,500 invitations to couples, which meant approximately 3,000 people, and I don't believe there was a soul that hadn't come and brought his cousin. There was a contingent of about 150 up from Louisiana. I met I don't know how many relatives of the Boggs family. And about every 20 minutes, I kept on getting a bulletin from the Secret Service that your husband's leaving in 5 minutes. He'll be right on out. And 20 minutes later, the same message over and over again. And a crowd that size, after a while, there's nothing that you can say. So I got a plate of food, and Tommy took me upstairs to a quiet room, which must have been hard to come by in that house. And there I did have just a pleasant little quiet encounter with one of the bridesmaids, a lovely girl whose name I don't remember, but who had been with Barbara when Barbara had had a year of going out into what is called the Catholic missions and studying to go into countries like Latin American countries. And I said, "But good Lord, everybody there's already a Roman Catholic." And she says, "Yes, but there's a lot of social service work to be done, and that will teach them that we are Christians too." And so I said, "It's a sort of the church's own version of the Peace Corps, is that right?" "And that's about what it is," she said. And one of the other dear little things about the day was to see Barbara's students. She teaches school, sixth grade school, girls, I think, in a Catholic school, while her husband is the professor over at Princeton. And they were there with the brightest faces, cutest little girls, obviously loving their teacher so much. After that, we came home, and the rest of the day was sheer self-indulgence for me. I called up Diana, whom I hadn't seen, well, really, since before November the 22nd, for more than a five-minute conversation. And she and Donald and Kathy came over about 6:45, intending to go on to a St. Andrew's dinner. But they stayed and had dinner with us. Lyndon came in. And then we went downstairs and I saw a Western movie curled up on a comfortable front seat with Linda Bird. It was Shane, and it took me back. I was completely engrossed in the days when it was a different America. Movies could become my addiction if I could let them. I finished it just in time to say a swift goodbye to Diana, run upstairs, and see the last half of Gunsmoke. My poor dear husband, meanwhile, had gotten in a black tie and gone out to the Alfalfa Club, of which he is the president this year, and where he had some really quite humorous and delightful remarks to make. About 12:30, he arrived back from there, bringing up all people Senator Byrd, Senator Humphrey, and a newspaper man of a very liberal stripe. I could hardly keep him saying, "Why, Senator Byrd, what company you're keeping these days?"